I never would have imagined that I would be giving two homilies within 3 weeks on the topic of shootings that have rocked and transformed our country. But here we are. The country was changed this week, and I was changed this week. 2 weeks ago, when the children at Annunciation were attacked and killed, I felt so bad and I felt so helpless. I felt like a father who couldn't protect his children. And my concern and love for other children, this parish and Holy Cross especially, has grown as a result of that incident. This week, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I felt the same tremendous pain for Charlie's wife and children that I did for the families of the Annunciation shooting. But the other pain I felt at Charlie's shooting was completely different. Rather than feeling like a protective father over my children, I felt instead more like I had lost a kind of spiritual father and mentor. This wasn't just an attack on one man. This was an attack on our country. It was an attack on free speech. And it was an attack on Christianity. Charlie was a great man, a great American, and a great Christian. He is a political martyr, and he is a Christian martyr. He has transformed the political landscape in our country, and he has also transformed the Christian landscape in our country. And he has transformed me. Charlie was loved by many, and he was despised by many. He was loved because he was so bold and so courageous. And he was despised because he insisted on things that angered the left, things like the right to life and that boys should not play in girls' sports. The left hated Charlie because he so boldly spoke about what the Bible said, especially regarding life and children and sexuality and marriage. This is also why he was loved by so many, because he was willing to say things publicly that many people believed but were too afraid to say publicly. And honestly, he was a better and bolder teacher on many of the truths of Christianity than many of our Catholic bishops and priests have been, especially being silent about abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism. The two most important things to Charlie were putting God first and seeking the truth. He loved God more than anything. And the Bible was his greatest guide in life, in morality, and in politics. He sought the truth with all his heart. He didn't believe something just because he wanted it to be true, but because he had studied it and he had prayed about it. And when he believed that something was true, he taught it then with all his might. Free speech was so important to him. He promoted dialogue and conversation about the most important things in our country and in our faith. And he invited anyone who disagreed with him to have a conversation and to seek together the truth and the best way forward. He never promoted violence. He never promoted name-calling, even when he was constantly called names and regularly received death threats against him. He was such a lover of the truth. He sought it with all his heart, spending hours every day reading and talking with and debating and listening to others. And that is how he died, asking questions and giving answers. Scripture was so important to Charlie. One scripture passage that has really spoken to me this week is Wisdom chapters 2 and 3. This is a longer passage, but I want to quote it for you. It's first and foremost a prophecy about Jesus, but it seems very appropriate to also quote it about Charlie. The wicked said among themselves, thinking not aright, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God, and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us, he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us. because his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. He judges us debased. He holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just and boasts that God is his Father. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. For according to his own words, God will take care of him. These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. For God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are in his possession experience it. But the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed in the view of the foolish to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with the elect. It's not just that Bible passage, though, that seems appropriate. Today's scripture verses. Today we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross. We reflect on the death of Jesus and how his death became the source of life. The cross went from the instrument of torture to the defeat of death and the devil. The very Sunday after Charlie died, that's what we reflect on. And what are the readings today? They're all focused on Christ giving his life and attaining heaven. And we heard the most famous verse in the Bible today in the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. John 3:16. That was Charlie's motto. That was the source and guidance for his whole life. But that's still not all of the scripture connections. I was shocked by the daily mass scripture readings the day of Charlie's death and the day following his death. This past Wednesday, the day he was shot, the first reading was from Colossians chapter 3. And this is it. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. That was the first reading the day that Charlie was shot. And the gospel that day, this past Wednesday, was Luke 6, the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. Then the next day, this past Thursday, the first reading was again from Colossians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also do. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts. And then the gospel this past Thursday was again from Luke chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Forgive and you will be forgiven. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The day he died, the readings were all about dying with Christ and rising with him. And the day after, we're all about forgiving our enemies and of love as the most important thing. This is not a coincidence. This is exactly what America needs to hear right now. That Jesus Christ is Lord, and that in him, our death, if we belong to him in death, we will have eternal life with him. And that we need to love our enemies and those who hate us, because love is more important than all things. That is exactly what we need to hear right now. Forgiving doesn't mean we don't also seek justice, but it means we do not take revenge. Those who commit evil must be brought to justice by the proper civil authorities. That's also a very biblical principle. Seeking justice and punishing criminals brings about the protection of others and the good ordering of society. It attempts to reform the future behavior of criminals, and it also is a warning to others in the community against committing crimes. But we are not just in a battle against those who would do physical evil and harm. We are in a very real spiritual battle. We see its ugly head manifested in physical violence, but on a deeper level, we are all in a battle for truth and goodness. As Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, "For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the day of evil, and having done everything, to hold your ground." We must put on the armor of God in order to be victorious in this spiritual battle. And what is the armor of God? St. Paul tells us, "So stand fast with your loins girded in the truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I want to invite you to put on the armor of God every day and to step up in the army of God. The response to this awful evil of this week must that we step up in the army of God. Charlie can no longer carry forward the torch of faith in this world, but we can, and we must. It is time to step up. It is so easy to assume that someone else will step up, and we don't have to. We assume someone else will step up in the church and serve. Someone else will run a Bible study. Someone else will teach religious ed. Someone else will befriend and mentor a new family in the parish. Someone else will volunteer. Someone else will do it. I don't have to. So too in the political sphere, someone else will help get out the vote. Someone else will attend school board meetings and city council meetings. Someone else will run for office. As long as I show up and vote myself, someone else will do the rest. The reality is Christians have to start working harder than anyone else if we want to promote the gospel in our world today. If we want the truth and we want goodness to triumph, we have to step up and do it. That is one of the most important things that I learned from Charlie, was that we must be willing to work harder than the other side. If we want faith to triumph in this world, then we have to work harder and more publicly than those who do not have faith. Just as if we want our country to be great and to go in the right direction, then we have to work harder and more publicly than those who want it to go in the other direction. To a large extent, the church and the country belong to those who put in the most time and effort. Of course, there is only one Savior of the world, and that is Jesus Christ. And yet you and I are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And if we do nothing, then the hands and the feet of Christ are doing nothing. The future of the country and the future of the church are up to each of us. We may not play a huge part in either one, but we must play some part. The less you and I play a role, the more you have to assume the other side is going to outwork us. It is an uphill battle, and it's a battle that cannot be won by idleness. I will forever be indebted to Charlie for the many things he taught me and inspired in me. He made me a better man, a better Christian, and a better American. Some of the things that he helped encourage and inspire in me were reading and praying with Scripture daily, holding Scripture as the most important source of truth and of guidance in my life, of not being ashamed or afraid of our faith and morals, and standing up for them in the public sphere, reading as many books as possible a year to be as knowledgeable and educated as possible, to seek the truth from those who are smarter and wiser than me, and to learn from them how I can articulate topics in conversations I have, to observe the Sabbath day seriously as a day for God and a day of rest, as God's word commands us to love our country and to get involved in politics, to care for my health, and to biohack as much as possible, so have physical and mental energy to use my body as well as possible for God's work and not grow weary. And although I'm not married, I greatly admired also his advice to married couples. Charlie always stressed the importance of prioritizing family life. He said daily to his wife, Erica, "How can I pray for you today? How can I serve you better today? And how can I be a better husband and better father?" He said that to her every day. And he frequently talked about being open to life and encouraging families to have lots of children. For Charlie, his priorities were God, family, country, and in that order. And to seek the truth, to live the truth, and to teach the truth with all your heart, that was how he lived. Charlie said he wanted to be remembered for his courage and for his faith. And that is definitely what he will be remembered for. And that is exactly what all of us should want to be remembered for our courage and for our faith. I have forever been changed by the life and teaching of Charlie Kirk. Like him, I cling to Christ, my Savior. And like him, I pray that I can pour out my life for Jesus Christ and for the truth.